Chapter 2, A New World. There's only so much television I can take before I get bored. I'll often settle for a good movie instead of reading, but the cable companies really need to pay for some new stuff. I mean, how many times can you watch the same blockbuster before you start losing brain cells? I say twice a month, tops. Friday was pure television torture. So on Saturday, I begged and pleaded with Aunt Holly to take me to a computer repair shop. It didn't take much to get her to drive me there. I guess that's one of the perks of people feeling sorry for you. They give you what you want. Lucky me. While we waited for the tech to take a look at the tablet, we walked next door to a used bookstore and coffee shop. When we stepped inside, the smell of musty paper and coffee beans greeted us. It reminded me of Grandpa. Aunt Holly bought us each a caramel latte, which tasted so good I emptied half of mine before I even started looking around. I didn't really want to get any books, even though she offered to buy one for me. It felt like if I did, I was admitting that my tablet was perma-broken and I'd never see my stories again. After half an hour, we went back to the repair shop. The guy placed the tablet on the counter and braced his hands on either side of it. He gave Aunt Holly a lazy smile and tucked his long hair behind his ear. "So, looks like you got it pretty good. Nearly fried the hard drive. Luckily, your data's recoverable, but it'll take some work to bring it back to life." Aunt Holly adjusted her purse strap and looked at him, waiting for him to get to the bottom line. When he didn't elaborate, she gave me a concerned look, then turned back to him and asked, "How much will it cost?" "Oh, yeah. I'd estimate around $300. Aunt Holly coughed and said, "Dollars? That's an awful lot. Isn't that how much it would cost to get a new one?" "Oh no, not for this. It's top of the line. Plus, there's all the applications and data." "Please, Aunt Holly, Mom gave it to me. I'll do anything," I said in a whisper. I didn't know what I'd do if she said no. She pinched her eyes shut and sighed. "Dishes. I hope you like doing dishes, Nim. How long will it take to fix?" "Righto." The tech stared at his computer and his face glowed blue. "Looks like our turnaround time's running 3 weeks out."
3 weeks?
I think I had a coronary on the spot.
"Or so."
I used my tablet on a daily basis. Going that long without it was going to be hard. It had been a day and a half already, and I was starting to get the shakes. "Fine. Looking on the bright side isn't my thing. Plus, it's just plain stupid. Why make yourself think there's a positive when there isn't?" As we walked to Aunt Holly's car, I said, "Thanks for paying to get it fixed." "No problem, sweetie. You'll get it back soon enough," she added with a shake of her head. "As long as that guy isn't the one who fixes it." I stifled a laugh. I knew she was right. It could have been worse. I could have lost everything, but on the other hand, it probably wouldn't have happened to someone else. I can always rely on my rain cloud following me wherever I go. I buckled up and stared out the window. All my books are on my tablet. Now what am I gonna do? I crossed my arms. Aunt Holly pulled the car onto the street and grinned at me. "I'm surprised at you, Nimrod. How many times did Grandpa take you up to his study and read to you? If the insurance company knew how many books were in the house, they'd raise our rates. One spark and it'll go up in smoke." "But all the stories I've been writing are on my tablet. What if I want to write?" I fired at her, agitated she'd used my full name. "Grandpa was a writer. He wrote everything by hand with an antique pen. Don't know if he ever showed it to you, but he cherished it. You could go into the attic and see if you can find it in his desk. He wrote into his will that you were to inherit it." That was a strange thing to leave to someone. I couldn't really recall the pen, but I did remember the time we spent in the attic when I came to visit. Grandpa would read me his stories with so much enthusiasm, I thought he was the most brilliant person I'd ever met. I wondered if it would be the same being in the attic without him. "All right, I'll take a look. All his books up there still?" "Yeah, they should be. I tidied up there after he died and know there are lots of papers from his unfinished projects." All the walls are covered with books, and most of the floor. He may have been smart, but he was a slob. He was interested in historical fiction, mysteries, a little bit of everything. As I recall, you like fantasy, right? Yeah. Just look out for spiders. It's been a while since I've gone up there. Oh, and don't open the crypt. That's where Dracula sleeps during the day. Aunt Holly stuck her teeth out, pretending she had fangs. I couldn't help but laugh. Really? One of your old boyfriends? Aunt Holly joined in the laughter and said, Okay, I deserve that. She took a slow breath and changed the subject. So, you feel like trying Thai food tonight? It's not much of a mystery that I'm known for sticking to familiar things, and that includes food. I don't like looking for trouble or a stomachache. To be honest, a grilled cheese sandwich sounded good to me right about then. But when I looked at Aunt Holly's eager eyes, I couldn't say no. Sure. Why not? You're on a roll. You got me to try coffee. What's next? Aunt Holly gave me a wink. I'm on a secret mission. A pang of sadness rippled through my body. I felt guilty. Here I was, enjoying a moment with my aunt, who was able to somehow make me feel normal for a second. It wasn't fair. How could someone so important to me be taken away? It wasn't how it was supposed to be. I should have been home in Florida with Mom. Just as my sadness and self-pity churned into a tsunami, tears rose to the surface, so I closed my eyes tight and balled up my fists. I opened my eyes when we were parked on the driveway. Aunt Holly was staring at me. How about some dinner? She asked in a whisper. Without saying a word, I nodded and got out of the car. I did my best to enjoy the Thai food, but it's hard breaking old habits. It was probably my imagination, but I thought I saw some of the noodles move by themselves, making me think of a bowl of worms, which made it hard to swallow. I tried convincing myself I was eating a grilled cheese sandwich, but once I hit a mouthful of mushrooms and something else I couldn't identify, I pushed my plate away. Aunt Holly watched me scoot back from the table and stand up. Had your fill? Why don't you look upstairs in the attic? You may want to take a hand vac with you, though, for all the dust. Aunt Holly took a sip of her herbal tea and ate another bite of dinner. All right, I'll give it a go. Where is it? I was ready to leave. The smell of peanut butter and assortment of mysterious ingredients reminded my stomach I'd just forced down food that was nothing like the mac and cheese Mom used to make. Aunt Holly's voice followed me out of the room. It's in the upstairs hall closet. I leapt up the stairs two at a time, wrenched open the closet door, and found more than the vacuum on the floor. There had to be at least three generations of shoes that cluttered the wooden floorboards, along with dust bunnies the size of my fist. I found the red handy vac hiding behind a long trench coat. I tried to contain the dust inside the closet before closing the door, then wandered to the end of the hallway where I found the attic door. It clearly hadn't been opened in a while, and I wondered if it had been painted shut after trying to pry it open for about 5 minutes. Finally, I braced my foot on the frame and pulled with all my strength until it finally jerked clear, letting out a gasp of stale air. This must have been what it was like opening King Tut's tomb, I thought. I hoped I wouldn't break some creepy curse going into Grandpa's attic. A dark stairwell rose before me. I flipped the light switch and climbed the steep steps, grabbing onto the rail for support. Spider webs hung from the ceiling and plastered the walls. I'm not a fan of spiders. I don't scream and hide from them or anything, but ever since reading The Hobbit when I was a kid, seeing a set of spider pinchers makes me reach for a bug spray. I walked across the book-strewn room and opened a small window for some fresh air. A dark maroon rug turned gray from the grime covering it was stacked with papers. A dusty typewriter sat in the corner, a gift from my mom that had obviously gone unused. Books were piled around on the floor and covered the walls in homemade bookcases. Cobwebs touched every surface. I held out the hand vacuum and switched it on. I felt like a cutting-edge knight, armed with my plastic modern-day weapon. The spiders had no chance. Once I could walk across the room without getting covered in spider silk, I wandered over to Grandpa's desk. A feather duster lay lifeless on the floor, like a dead bird covered in a thick layer of filth. I picked it up and shook it out the window and started to sweep the dust off the desk. Soon the mahogany wood was free of its dirty veil, but the air became so thick I had to stumble back to the window, sputtering for fresh air. After I recovered, I settled at the roll-top desk and counted its nearly 30 little compartments and tiny drawers that lined the front. Unfortunately, Grandpa hadn't shut the cover the last time it was used, and a pile of blank papers sat at the center of the workspace. I gathered them up into a tiny stack. It was then I spotted the fountain pen. Now that I was looking at it, something clicked. I don't know how old I was at the time, but I remembered asking Grandpa if it was made of gold and him laughing. He had said it was special and that when I was grown up, he'd give it to me. Well, that had never happened. I picked it up. It was heavier than I expected, but I liked the way it settled between my fingers. The cold metal quickly warmed to my touch, and I made a couple of test marks on a piece of paper. Ink flowed evenly from the tip, and the sound of the metal scratching against the paper made me smile. It had been a while since I'd written one of my stories by hand. I snatched a fresh sheet of paper and wrote down my name, N.R. Vale. I never write out my full name on manuscripts. I mean, would you pick up a book by Nimrod Roger Vale? I wouldn't. Not unless it was an idiot's guide to picking terrible baby names. I closed my eyes and envisioned the world that had been tumbling around in my imagination over the last week, with its rocky terrain and sunless sky, where few creatures could survive, a land at war, and a princess caught in the crossfire, held against her will in a cold tower by a man once in love with her, whose heart had been hardened by magic. Ready to pour my words onto the page, I gripped the pen tight and started writing. The words flowed easily, each scene unfolding before me, almost as though it had been wanting to come out. Before long, I had four chapters written and a wicked hand cramp. I dropped the pen to the table, groaned, and rubbed my eyes. My back hunched and I touched my head to the table. Tired and drained of words, I looked up and noticed a hinged wooden box with an intricate swirl pattern engraved on it. Green velvet lined the interior and it had a long, narrow indent. I placed the fountain pen into the box, went down the attic steps, and switched off the light. As I tossed and turned under my bedspread that night, my thoughts curled around Grandpa's fountain pen. If it was so valuable to him, why hadn't he bothered putting it away after he'd finished using it last? Clang! My eyes popped open, and then shut just as quickly when the bright morning light seared my retinas. I flung my hand out from under the covers and grabbed the clock. 9 o'clock. Great. I guessed Aunt Holly didn't sleep in on Sundays. Awesome. While debating with myself about going back to sleep, the smell of bacon and eggs wafted into the room, and my hunger pains won. I slid out of bed wearing my boxers and a t-shirt. Before I could get too chilly, I pulled on a pair of sweatpants and wool socks. It hadn't taken me long to discover that the old wood floors ran at a temperature that could keep milk chilled. When I stumbled into the kitchen, Aunt Holly's eyes widened as she stared at my hair. I patted down the spiky points as she wiped the grin from her face and turned to the sink. "So, how'd you sleep last night?" I flopped onto a bar chair at the counter and shrugged in response. "Not a morning person, are you?" I shrugged again. "I have just the thing." Aunt Holly placed a steaming cup of coffee in front of me and smiled. "Sugar, no cream, the way you like it." "Thanks. Did I smell breakfast?" A plate covered with eggs, bacon, and toast was set before me. Aunt Holly shrugged and said, "I may not be a parent, but I know any growing teen likes to eat, or at least, I think so." "Yeah, growing teens also like to sleep," I grumbled as she swatted me with a dish towel. While I tucked into my food, she asked, "So, did you find Grandpa's stuff last night? I didn't see you again, so..." Between bites, I incoherently answered, "Nah, some mess up there." "Okay, a sow might be able to understand you, but I can't. Swallow." Aunt Holly took a sip from her mug and nibbled the edge of her toast. I gulped down a mouthful of eggs and followed it with some coffee. With every sip, I felt more and more human, or awake. After rubbing my eyes and stretching my arms, I coiled back into a slouch. "Sorry, yeah. I found the pen and all the writing stuff up there. It's a mess, though. Full of cobwebs and dust. I think the handy vac might have died from exhaustion. Well, it sounds like a job for the upright and a wet cloth. Aunt Holly fluffed her ever-frizzy hair and smacked her lips with a pop. So, what do you feel like today? You want me to take you somewhere? See the sights? I noticed a painter's rag and a brush tip poking out of her pocket and guessed how she normally spent her Sundays. I thought about going outside and my throat tightened. No thanks. I'd rather work on the story I started last night. You can go ahead and paint. I know you want to anyway. I looked down at the golden yolk pooling at the edges of my plate. If it makes you happy, she said, searching my downcast eyes. Happy wasn't going to happen, but I nodded and picked up my plate, dropping it in the sink. I thumped upstairs to my room, put on a pair of slippers, returned to the hallway closet to grab the upright vacuum, and rolled it to the attic door. The air was still stuffy, but at least it wasn't as bad as yesterday. I had to move some piles of books to find an outlet. Soon the dingy rug was magenta again. Sunlight slanted in through a circular window and warmed the mahogany wood on the desk. I plopped into the chair and watched dust motes float through the air before reaching out to the carved box that held my grandpa's treasure. Inside, the golden pen waited, gleaming on its velvety bed. For the first time, I noticed a fine design etched onto its barrel. I lifted it close to my eyes and wondered how old it was. I'd never used a pen like this before and wasn't sure what I was supposed to do when it ran out of ink or if I needed to clean it at all. I supposed I'd figure it out when the time came. Shrugging to myself, I set to work. The sound of the metal tip scratching on paper was even sweeter than the clattering keys of the keyboard, and the pen seemed to, well, belong in my hand, connect with me, somehow, the same way it did with the paper. I took a deep breath and continued where I'd left off. The princess was trapped in her tower with no way of escape. It wasn't before long I realized things were going nowhere fast. I wasn't sure where I wanted to take the plot. I started doubting my storyline when I introduced a colorful flying creature she charmed into being a pet. She wasn't supposed to be Dr. Doolittle. I paused, unsure of how to continue my story. Now that I'd committed it to paper, I wasn't sure. Writer's block. I should have known. I could never seem to finish anything I started. Maybe it was time to scrap the idea and move on to something else. Who'd want to read it anyway? No one, that's who. Best to send this one to the literary graveyard, I decided, and scrawled the end on the paper. I stared at the gold fountain pen. The ink surely had to be getting low, but I had no idea how to refill it. I twisted it between my fingers and stared at the etching. It was then I noticed something I hadn't seen before. Words were scrawled in script along its length. It had to be Latin. I wasn't good with languages. At times, I questioned if English was even my strong suit. I was too self-conscious to practice in front of anyone. But since I was alone, I figured I'd give it a try. There was no one to laugh at me except myself. Ars imitator vita. No sooner had I stumbled over the words than the edges of the paper began to glow and flicker. Light radiated from the page as though I was staring into the sun. I covered my eyes with my hands, and a prickling sensation surged through my body.